Witchy Hour!
You're listening to High Pet Witchy Hour.
Motherfuckers! Can you guess who is IPEC's special guest tonight? We are going to feel the heat and intimidation from one badass motherfucker on IPEC's Witching Hour on Metal Messiah Radio. Dedicating my show tonight to Phil H. Anselmo and all his beautiful jewels, best known of Pantera, but I'll give you a taste of all his projects. So get ready for a big feast of Phil tonight! Alright, so up next is the fucking interview. You don't want to miss this. I can hardly wait to hear our conversation. So stay tuned, motherfuckers. Don't go anywhere. Get your fucking drinks. You definitely want to be little high and little tipsy when you are about to hear the shit. Yeah!
Hello?
Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm good.
Do you know who you are going to be talking to?
Fuck no.
Are you sober yet?
Sober? I'm always sober.
You're always sober, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, very good. Well, this is IPEC from Metal Messiah Radio, and I have a show called IPEC's Witching Hour, and as you may not know, that I am also a metal singer for an extreme band, Wicked Witch.
Tell you what, there was an old band from the 80s called Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
And they were all black. And they played this fucking crazy bullshit power funk that was so bizarre. And actually, very, very listenable if you like bizarre slash bad music slash great music. I don't even know how to put it. They're insanely talented, but way off the cuff from any other fucking, I guess, I don't know what the hell they were trying to be at the time, man. But that's the only Wicked Witch I think I've heard of.
Mine is W-Y-K-K-E-D.
Right. I've seen the name for sure.
Yeah, okay. So,
what kind of music?
It's extreme, death, black metal, you know, I think...
Well, to me, black death would be like Arch Goat or something like that.
I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of unique because I do a lot of different vocals. I do like operas, clean vocals.
And then death, like the...
And then I go... You know?
Right.
You know?
Any guttural, like, you know, Cookie Monster shit.
That one,
nice.
Too? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I do a lot of shit. I'm classically trained. I've been doing a long time, and I'm a big, big fan of not just Pantera, but, you know, Phil himself.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot.
Oh, absolutely, man. I dig you a lot, so I don't care the rumors and shit. I don't go for that. I just appreciate your talent and your charisma, your personality, and that's what I like you for. You know, I don't care about any other rumors and fucking gossips. I don't get involved. I don't listen to that
what
shit.
A rumor or folklore gossips, but just folklore.
Right.
You know, okay. I got the proof in the pudding, goddammit.
Yep, exactly. Now, Phil, as I do for everybody, I do Mini Miranda, and just to avoid in the future, I never fucking said that, you know, bullshit. So I'm going to give you the Mini Miranda. Phil, anything you say may or could be used against you in court of law. You like that?
I love it.
That's my trademark. So, in fact, I did with the Kirk, you know, your buddy Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
Weinstein.
Yeah.
I had a hard time to pronounce his last name. So I had to, repeat 3-4 times. So I did it yesterday with the Don from the That Metal Show. And he gave me some little things. He said to ask Phil loves sexual questions. I said, I don't know about that, because we were talking about Kirk's balls. I don't know if you remember in the video, your last video, and the tour with the Don in London, he was sitting on the toilet in a bathroom, I guess dressing room, you were lying down on the couch.
I've seen him on the toilet probably 1,000 times in my life, and I've seen his balls about a million times.
Oh, okay, so you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, God, yes.
So I said, Kirk, I couldn't believe it. I first opened my eyes, and then you got up, and your balls were hanging. But I got to admit that you got small balls for a big man.
Who, me?
No, not you. I never seen your balls, but Kirk. He said, no fucking way.
That's the truth, though. Kirk kind of prides himself on having a big sack, but,
Absolutely.
It might have been cold or something. I don't know. You never know.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Your balls shrinks like.
Oh,
your...
sure. The skin around them can tighten up and shrink when in the cold.
Okay, awesome. But I'm not going to ask your penis size, because Don was telling me, well, my penis, it's like 13 inches. I measured it, and I think Phil's is like 16. I said, get the fuck out.
No,
he says, ask him. He said,
he's exaggerating a few inches there, but it's like, you know.
He's lying, right?
You're right, but mine's bigger than his, put it that way.
Oh, you guys measured it together?
No, but.
Or you try to do each other?
Never. No.
Okay. Oh, well, that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, he's good looking. You're good looking. He's got nice sideburns, you know. But he looks like he might have sucked a lot of dicks. I'm sorry. All right.
Who's that?
The Don from the That Metal Show. I keep forgetting his last name.
Who? Which guy?
Not the Jim Florentine. What's his last name, Don?
Oh.
Jameson.
Jameson.
Don Jameson. Him and the Eddie Trunk. You were on that show.
I only know Eddie.
Yeah, really. Eddie Trunk. You were on their show, on that show.
Yeah, I'm bad with names. I know Eddie Trunk. I don't really know the rest.
And the other two sidekick guys, you know what I mean?
The two sidekick guys. They were nice guys.
Yeah. They love you. They fucking love you, you know?
Right.
So they'll take a bullet for you. Well, that's as far as I'm concerned. That's how they were talking highly about you. Okay, I'm going to start my questions. Ready or not? Okay. Let's talk about your current project, your plans for 2011. I know you got several bands on your roster, on your new label, Housecore Records.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is Arson Anthem.
Oh, yeah.
So let me have it. Let's hear it, what you got in your store.
Well, Arson, we're about to go out for 6 shows, and...
Uh-huh.
The record's been out now for a few months, and, if you like that type of hardcore...
Right.
It takes you back to the middle 80s.
Right.
then, you know, I guess it's for you. And I think that record, I'm very happy with the record. I'm happy with the way it came out. I love the production because mm-hmm. it sounds like the real fucking McCoy.
Right.
It was no bones about it. And we mm-hmm. fucking knocked that, really did the record in like two different pieces in two different sessions. But both sessions were very, very quick and very, very inspired. So, you know, we came out of that thing with 17 songs and, fucking, I love the record. I think it turned out great, and I think these shows are going to be fucking monstrous. Hank is an excellent fucking drummer. I know my guitar parts. Mike will be Mike, and Collins is
right.
an excellent musician.
So you got, like, an all-star lineup right there. I mean, Mike Williams from I Hate God on the vocals. You got the Hank 3 from Superjoint, Ritual on drums. I mean, and then we got the Phil on the guitar. What more can we expect, right?
You know, maybe a guitar solo.
Can you do it?
No, that's stupid.
Really? But I watched it on the YouTube. I kind of liked it. It's like old school, you know, real southern, you know, subtle, which is, you know, it's pretty good, like a hardcore punk. And I fucking love it.
Good.
You know, it's awesome. I'm going to spread the word for you. So that's your band. And you got any New Year's resolutions? I know I spoke with Kirk before Thanksgiving, and he said that he gave up his best fucking friend, which is the booze. What have you given up? And, you know, are you supporting him for his sobriety?
Of course. Of course, I'm very much supporting him and his sobriety because, you know, if it makes your life better,
mm-hmm.
then all way more power to you. You know, there's, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but me, I'm at the point now where on certain events and this and that, sure, I can have a couple beers,
mm-hmm.
a couple glasses of wine, but I try and stay away from the hard booze. That's a little rough on me, but I can also put it down. You know, I don't have to have it every fucking day. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm lucky to go once in a month without drinking now, especially now that football's finished with. Fuck.
I know.
So, you know, it's like really my New Year's resolution is to improve
your health.
Well, of course, always you want to improve the health, but also
the quality of life.
Quality of life and business. You know, house
and business. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Bands and down and everything. You know, there's responsibilities.
Right.
I want to take care of my bands. I want
right.
to take care of all the business and just make sure I learn how to get better and we learn how to get better together as a team.
Perfect. I mean, I know you can't really, you know, watch a football game without having a couple briskies, you know, and
unless I'm too nervous and I can have to throw up, so
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, a couple joints of, you know, no big deal. That's no big deal, as long as you're not like doing it all night long after the show.
Man,
you know,
that's too much.
That's too much, and that's those years are gone. I mean, those are when you were in the business new, you didn't know your fucking shit, you know, you were young and stupid, I will say, you know, as far as, you know, I'm concerned. I had my share, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and it's the truth, you know,
mm-hmm.
everybody's has that window of opportunity to
right.
be young
mm-hmm.
and absolutely make the wrong decisions.
Yep.
You know, so it's all, you know, as the years go by, it's all how you correct those mistakes.
Right. And it takes a toll on you, too.
And, of course it does. And it, you need to, you know, when your body speaks and it's telling you something.
Yep.
That something's wrong, you have to listen. You have to listen and you have to improve upon that. So
right.
I'm very well aware of all these things.
Well, that's good because obviously if you have somebody like dieting, for instance, you don't want to fucking bring all these KFCs and Taco Bells, you know, and eat in front of them and fucking, you know, it's just kind of
Disrespectful.
You know, yeah, disrespectful, exactly. So same thing, if he's not going to be able to drink during the shows, that maybe even if you're going to drink a couple, just take your beer out, you know.
I always do, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
I never, never, never want to drink in front of anybody that's struggling with
right.
Something like that. No,
yes.
No fucking way.
I know. Alcoholism is a disease. You know, it's not just...
Very much so.
Yeah, very much, right?
I've seen maybe more sickness
yes.
in alcoholism than in any other...
Drugs.
Yeah, anything.
Right.
I mean, eating too much is a bad disease.
It's a bad disease as well, exactly. You know?
So, you know, like they say, too much of anything can be a bad thing.
Oh, absolutely. Just a moderation, right?
Moderation, and also what I find that's interesting about the human body and the human nature is you have to maybe change up the entire routine sometimes.
Yeah.
Change the entire routine a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Give your body either the rest it needs or the extreme activity it needs. Give it the certain foods that it needs at the certain times. Different little things. Eat different foods.
Right.
Give your body that full array of proteins and
The boost it needs, energy, but you know, it's funny, Phil, you know, we all fucking take care of our cars much better than our bodies. Have you noticed?
No, I'm not a car person.
No, I'm not either, but I'm just saying how, you know, we're concerned all the load,
you're right,
oil change.
I see what you're saying. I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
so,
I do.
Yeah, you know, you have to get an oil check, you know, the carburetor, blah, 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 you know, the cleanup. But we really neglect our bodies because we think, we're young enough, but we're never going to get old, and body is going to maintain in its same shape, but it doesn't, you know. It takes toll on you as a year after year, you know, if you abuse this kind of behavior. So I know for myself, you know. So, yes, I agree with you 100% that you have to change the habits, you know. If you're getting 5 hours sleep and you're tired all the time, start getting a little bit more sleep and eating better, you know, take your vitamins, get some, check your body needs some, you know, rest, just like everything else, your voice, right?
Absolutely.
You know, after singing for 5, 6, 7 days, screaming all night long, and then you're talking and drinking, smoking, then suddenly your voice,
yeah,
you go hoarse.
You lose your fucking voice.
You man. Do. You sure do. Okay, so that was that. And what the future of the music industry is going? What direction? I mean, I see little destruction. You know, I see
of
falling.
Course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think the fact that the damage is... Done. It is a done deal. Nobody is selling as many records as they used to.
It's a big disease spread. There is no cure.
Well, here's the way I look at it.
Okay.
If the problem is there, if the technology is there,
right,
then it's up to us.
Right.
As musicians and as believers in what we do, 1,000%, to make this system work in our favor somehow.
Right.
And I feel like with Housecore Records, I feel like we're very successful.
Okay.
Right at this minute, you know. I'm not looking, of course, you know, look, I don't set my sights too high with my bands or anything like that. All I do is take care of them,
right,
and myself,
mm-hmm.
musically, and everybody around me, and our entire the Housecore family. We take care of ourselves,
right,
and work as diligently and as hard as possible, and you know, call it good karma or whatnot, but the harder you work at something and the more honest you are with people and the more valuable you make this item.
Right.
That, you know, a CD where people can just download it, but if you have a CD with specific artwork or special things or special whatnot, you know, whether it be autographed, whether
the lyrics, the pictures.
Exactly. It's up to us to get the product back into people's hands to where they actually want to own a piece of this. So, you know, that's why we do vinyl. That's why we do what we do. So, you know, and you know, I believe in it. And that's another thing, you know. I think we take this technology and we make it work in our favor. Now, I can't really sit here and tell you exactly how to do that because I think each person's path could be a little different, but eventually, once we get enough paths, we can all tie it together and somehow work together and make this whole fucking thing from the underground up a whole new movement, a whole different thing, a whole new movement. To me, that in itself, a whole new underground movement. I love the underground. I love new bands.
Me too, me too. Maybe
I adore digging, and finding new bands.
Awesome.
And supporting them, you know, and supporting what they fucking do, you know, so.
Absolutely.
You know, I listen to a lot of stuff, and as far as extreme, like you mentioned, Black Death, you know, as a genre, there's a band from Australia that I really, really like right now called Cauldron Black Ram.
Okay.
And they fucking jam straight up.
Okay.
So. Big thumbs up for them. I just had to bring it up. I love them.
Awesome, because in fact, I was on a label, English label, for the last 10 years. Well, we gave them like four albums. And I released my last one because I was pretty much raped. I mean, I couldn't see anything in return. They wouldn't pay for anything else. I had to pay tours, merchandise.
How many records did you
have? I have four albums. And they're still fucking selling on Amazon, on internet, on the stores. But I have now better, because I have gained so many fans, I'm getting return from iTunes every week, PayPal, and plus MySpace. They're sending me money, and I'm getting messages, hey, I want to buy your T-shirt, can I get this, and blah, blah, blah. I give them one free. I said, you buy one, I'll give you the T-shirt for free. Because I have tons of T-shirts left over from the tours. So now I am about to release my fifth album, and I would like to shop, because even though I can finance it, but it's going to be a fucking killer, because I got a brand new guitar player. He's so young, and he plays fucking killer tunes. So I want to do is, Phil, I want to send you a couple songs copy.
I'd love to have it, because, you know, we just do, we don't sign bands to a fucking life fucking thing.
No, that's,
you know,
not realistic,
we do one record at a time.
Right.
And then after that, you're free, and, you know, we give you back your publishing. You know,
absolutely.
You know, because I've been through the major fucking label jail.
Yes, I know.
You know?
You've been fucked over so many times, so you know how it feels, as in, you know, unsigned band, new coming band, they all struggle. So you understand that.
Well, yeah, and I also understand, you know, when you're 20 years old, 19 years old, and a record label says, we want to sign you for seven records. It sounds like a big deal. It sounds like a bigger deal, the fact that they want you for seven records. But what you don't know is that they've got you trapped for 14 fucking years.
If
you know, two years per record of touring and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know.
They own you. They own you.
It's a life sentence.
Yeah, life sentence, exactly.
So that cannot do anything else on the side, or
no.
You're in breach of contract.
Breach of contract, exactly. So that's why I did not renew my contract with them. And so I'm doing really, really good, actually. I have a lot of fans, especially we toured in Europe with Creator, Sodom, Destruction. These
nice.
Had many, many festivals.
Nice. No, I understand. But believe me, even from back in the middle 80s to me,
right.
There was a girl, from what I understand, she passed away, but...
Dawn Crosby. She was a good friend of mine. No?
No. Oh. Sabina from...
Oh,
now, she was an extreme, very extreme for the thrash metal days in the middle 80s, and I think she was very, very influential on that whole scene.
Right.
I think she was ahead of her time. Matter of fact, she came out and met me in 1990 on the first Pantera tour, and I was a big fan of hers. And I hadn't seen her since, and I'd heard that she had passed, but maybe it was confused with Dawn. I'm not sure, but, as far as all that stuff goes, I'm wide open.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, I know you support a lot of musicians, and that's why I have a lot of respect for you, you know?
Then there's another all-girl band out there right now I like a lot named Fuck Morgue.
What a name. That's awesome.
It's a great name, Fuck Morgue.
Fuck Morgue.
Great fucking name, and they're very, very black-influenced metal, you know? I like it.
Fuckers! IPEX. Morons, imbeciles. I hope everybody is fucking well rested tonight and you can fucking handle this long show as I will. You just heard the first part of the interview with Phil Anselmo, and I hope everybody liked it. I thought it was very fucking interesting, twisting. I never thought Phil will talk about his genitals or other guys' balls. That really shocked me big time. All right, well, let's get something straight. Oh, my God.
Hello,
do we really want to hear from Pedro tonight?
Guys. Thank you for inviting me to the show. I really like to know about I love the Phil Anselmo. I like to learn. He got a big pinguita in el pantalones. I love that Phil Anselmo. Love to talk about a pinga because, you know, I have a big pinga too. So why you ask this question about the pingas and the pelotas?
It's because Phil Anselmo has a lot of friends, and people want to know because he wears like these baggy shorts.
But I want to know how come you never invite these people over this house. You know, like if you're gonna come over,
because
maybe we can examine the pinguita and look at it and
Pedro,
see how
must
big
be a
it looks.
Moron and idiot.
I like to see how big.
These interviews done by over the phone. They can't fucking maricon, come to my
but
house.
I like to see like the Phil Anselmo and the pinguita. Okay, so I'm gonna.
Do you know Phil Anselmo?
Yeah, man, I've seen a couple of times in the Panteras.
What song do you know by Pantera?
I love it. They say this love. They say this
love.
I love this love. And then later on in the show, I'm gonna sing a song by a Pantera. So everybody,
really?
I'm gonna sing a couple of songs.
Wait.
I got my new banda. We got it. I wanna be in El Cantante because I'll see that I can have a show. And I'm going to sit back, relax, and I'll let you do the show.
Hey,
I'm just going to...
Pedro, I heard you got yourself a chica, and maybe she'll give you a green card.
I got a lot of chicas over here, so I'm going to take a little back seat, as they say, and I'm gonna see what's going on and get some goodies I'm going to get some marijuanas, because you said for the show I should be drinking and getting a high, so... Let me go get high and you can finish the job.
Okay.
Biberechi, maricon.
All right, Pedro, go clean your fucking ass and make sure you use the real toilet paper, not your t-shirt. Okay? Nobody wants to see the fucking brown shirt, brown stain on white t-shirt. Oh my God. That is fucking disgusting. All right. Well, I want to say Phil Anselmo is a fucking monster with a magic touch. It's kind of guy, every bad boy's dream phenomena. You know, Phil has grown more mature, mellow, humble over the years. I guess driving and living on the edge, partying every fucking day, drugs, alcohol, and breaking up and tragedies somehow will shake you up and wake you up and teach you some slowing down lessons. The reason I did not want to talk about Dimebag and Pantera in this interview, because it's a very touchy subject. It's been done too many interviews, and I wanted to just focus Phil Anselmo's new life, fresh materials, and his good-looking future with his new bands on his roster, his label, his two other side projects that we have not seen, heard. So those are all exciting things, and I don't want to upset Phil. And so this is why if you're waiting for to hear something about, you know, the Pantera hot juicy gossip, not in this show. So stick around for second part of the interview, and don't fucking move!
Rob Halford, you know, I mean, he's done more for heavy metal than fucking...
I know, he's a metal god.
Anybody, you know, really. You know, I try to explain to the younger generation how much Judas Priest really meant to heavy metal.
Right.
You know, for a band to do what they did in the 70s...
I know.
You know, they were... miles away from other bands.
Oh, yeah, they're pioneers. I mean, who else? You know, Iron Maiden. You know what I mean?
Well, before Iron Maiden, there was Judas Priest, you know? So Iron Maiden, to me, it was is like another band that was influenced by Judas Priest that came out.
Probably,
know,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, probably. You're
no,
right.
No, no,
you're right.
Definitely.
Okay, definitely. You're right.
I'm
you're absolutely
you,
right.
You know, Judas Priest was before Iron Maiden by years and years.
Or maybe they were not known at the time, you know?
Well, you know, the first Iron Maiden came out in 1981. Mm-hmm. Judas Priest, what?
73. Shit.
Yeah. See?
You know your
that,
shit.
That old. Rock
you know,
and roll
you know your shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty well versed.
So you're happy with your record label? It gives you something to hope for? Teacher.
Well, you know, it just feels very natural to do.
Right.
You know, it's like, now that we are doing the housecore records, it's just like, it feels like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So, it feels very natural, and I love it. And, like I say, it gets better every day.
Yeah. And 2010, you had a couple of releases, like DVD for Down, Diary of the Mad Band, and the 20th anniversary of Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah.
Now, why did a Down DVD take so long to come out?
I think there were some legal problems that I really, you know, I can't.
You can't get into it, yeah.
Yeah, I really don't, because I don't know. I really don't
know. You don't know what happened. Yeah.
I really don't. I, you know, I let the lawyers and all those ass fucking holes deal with that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, but eventually, you know, everything worked out.
Yeah, it was delayed several times. The Down DVD was directed by Jim Van Baber.
Oh,
some
yeah.
director of those Necrophilia videos.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes. He also did a film called Charlie's Family, or it ended up being the Manson Family.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I had done some music, soundtrack music for him for that record. So, you know, Jim and I have worked together for many years, and he's a very, very talented man.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he's one of those guys that... if he would put the goddamn beer bottle down a little bit more and pick up the camera a little bit more, he'd get a lot more done. He's too talented to drink his career away. And I
really?
Think yeah, but I think he sees it today, and I know he's working hard.
Right.
So
He's one of those guys that are up and down with the
up and down, right?
The alcohol. So he's a much better, way much better.
Maybe he can join those celebrity rehab shows.
Well, he's not too much of a celebrity yet, but you know what? I really hope and wish the best for Jim Van Bever. He's a very good friend. Very, very dear, dear friend. I've known him for many, many years.
Right. Whatever happened to your... I have one of your... those old tape video from the Necrophagia, Through Eyes of the Dead, uncut. You know, are you going to continue or you just disband? What are you doing with them?
Well, there was some discrepancy, honestly. I was not...
happy?
No, you know, it was like more or less me... I wrote every fucking note
for
the Holocausto de la Morte record, and as well as the EP,
right?
Whatever the fuck it was called.
At the time, EP.
I wrote all that fucking shit, and it was put out through some little shit piss fucking label, and eventually they fucked me over, and I guess. Me and the rest of the band decided that, I don't know, the rest of us had a falling out with the singer, so...
Oh, okay.
And that pretty much killed Necrophagia.
I mean, I love the, you know, the guitarist, Anton Crowley.
You know, at the time I was under contract with Pantera, so I can't really talk too much.
You can't talk about that.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So don't worry about it. Now, I love... watching YouTube, and I go sometimes I just watch your interviews, you know, very interesting. I love the way you talk, very settled, very calm, you know, not unlike, you know, old days, you were all hyper, you know, during Pantera years. A lot of time when I go looking on Phil Anselmo videos, I ran across where you are coaching a boxer. That was hilarious. A lot of negative comments I was reading. The one fan says, what the fuck does he know anything about boxing? And to tell the professional.
I'll teach the motherfucker. I could train a boxer tomorrow to be a fucking professional, so fuck him.
Whoever it was, but I said, why not?
Whoever it was has got mouth full of fucking jealousy, and he'd be the first guy to kiss my ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I walked into a fucking bar.
So how do you manage your time? Like, you're so fucking busy. You got all this shit going on. Then your own band, Dawn, and the record label. You're so fucking busy. Do you find any time to relax and do other things?
Actually, I feel more relaxed when I'm doing things, you know? When I'm sitting down doing idle stuff. Of course, I can occupy myself. I'm fine with that. But, you know... There's a great team. We have with Kate involved, and all the people
working for you.
Working for us. You know, it's not like we have this big giant staff or anything like that. But you know what? It's a lot of the bands. All the bands put in what they put in. We put in what we put in. We all speak our true feelings. We get a game plan and we see it through. And we take one day at a time, really. You know?
Awesome.
And whatever problems may arise, you know, if it's a band conflict, then I take it upon myself to make sure everybody's happy, make sure everything is running nice and fucking smooth. Because, look, a lot of these things these guys are going through, I went through already 10 years ago.
So you can relate to them.
Absolutely. And I can talk them through it. And then eventually, you know, tell them a funny story about how it happened to me, and they see it, and all next thing you know, they're smiling, and it's not such a big deal anymore.
As long as they show you some kind of respect, though, that's cool.
I think respect goes both ways.
Yeah, that's true.
If I were to come up to a band that, if I were to come up to anybody and have a bunch of attitude, then, you know, they wouldn't necessarily respect me. But if I walk up to someone and say, hello, how are you? And I shake their hand and I ask them how they're doing, nice to meet you and whatnot, then that's me showing them respect. So in turn, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be respected. So, you know, I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. It's it takes two to tango. I mean, you know.
And another thing real quick, you know, when someone already respects me for what I have done in the past, the music that I've created, and they come up to me and they tell me, it truthfully means a lot to me. And
of course.
It really does.
Of course.
You know, I may not have all the time in the day to sit there and talk to them, but the second they say it and we shake hands, that moment between me and them is a very special one, and it goes both ways.
Right.
You know, if I can make someone happy on that day, then that makes me happy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Are you getting soft, Phil?
No, I'm getting wise.
You're getting wise. Absolutely. It's growing up, you know what I mean? It's growing. Pain also teaches you the desperation, you know, the depression, dealing with all the tragedies in your life. Sometimes it teaches you, you know.
You know what? You're right. Sometimes it teaches you. And I'm going to tell you, there's two different kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, there's probably 10 different kind of people. But the truth is, some people will learn from mistakes, and some people will just keep making the same
mistakes. We'll never.
It's a matter of common sense, and it's
common
a matter
sense.
Of the individual.
Absolutely,
know?
Absolutely.
I'm very grateful that I do believe that I've learned massive lessons through, what life has offered up. And this is the fucking mistakes that, you know, come along with it.
Yeah, and you don't take it for granted anymore, right?
No fucking way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's why I work, that's why we work so diligent. And people are always like you say, you know, all the different hands that we have and a lot of different areas and walks of life, whether it be music, whether it be the boxing world, whether it be the house of shock that I built back in the 90s, whether it be fucking the record label, whether it be...
whatever it is, exactly.
Fucking Arson Anthem, Christ Inversion, and I can keep going on and on and on. Whatever it is, we're going to get it fucking done.
Yeah.
And it's not just time consuming.
Well, that's awesome. I see a lot of, success coming for you because you're very motivated right now, which is great. You know, I don't know what motivates you. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah, man. You know, matter of fact, when I hang up with you, I'm going straight to the studio, and I'm going to start editing drums for my solo project, and I'm going to practice the Arson Anthem set.
You got a solo project, too?
Oh, yeah.
And what are you doing in that one?
Everything but drums.
Everything but... You can't play drums?
No, fuck. No. I mean, look, I can keep a beat.
But, yeah.
You know, when it comes to using my feet.
But you can't blast it.
I'm a better dancer, and you know what?
Uh-huh.
I can't dance.
You can't dance. Maybe a couple of tequila shots, you may start dancing.
No, I don't drink tequila. My father does, but I don't drink it.
Really?
I can't take the smell of it.
Yeah, I know. I hate the whiskey myself.
I can't drink whiskey anymore either. I used to drink 2 bottles a fucking day. I can't drink
my God. Anymore. Oh, my God. Your fucking liver is screaming.
No, not anymore.
I ask everybody same question because it's a kind of... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I wouldn't cut you off. I'm sorry. Finish the question. Go on.
I am like really obsessed with this Lady Gaga phenomena. And
you know what? I've heard the name. I've seen like a cartoon, like on Family Guy. I think I've seen a Lady Gaga joke. Matter of fact, I think I've seen a picture of her in a fucking paper.
Right. You can't miss it. It's in your face every fucking day.
She's a poser, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you, Phil, for saying that, because
I don't even have to listen to her fucking music, because I don't give a shit if it was sounded exactly like Dark Throne's Blaze in the fucking Northern Sky.
I know.
She's a poser.
I know. She's an imitator. She's a copycat.
See, I don't even need to listen to it then. Fuck it. I don't give a shit.
But your buddy, my good old man, Kirk, doesn't think so.
Kirk's a crazy man of eclectic taste.
I said to myself, maybe he should go back, start drinking again. What the fuck is he? What is he smoking? He's telling me she's a classically trained pianist. You know? And he was like interesting show. She's really talented. I said, oh my God, Kirk, how could you think that? It's just like you're glorifying, you know, like another.
All right. You're talking about a guy who's watched and still watches and keeps up with about three daytime soap fucking operas made for fucking lonely housewives.
Oh my God.
He knows everyone's fucking name. He knows the names of the shows.
Oh shit.
And he knows the story from like 1975. He's been watching it forever. Oh. Ask him. He watches a fucking soap opera.
What, All My Children, One Life to Live?
Those kind of soap operas.
I watched them when I was like maybe in a hospital. There was nothing else on the case.
Fuck.
Oh, fuck, man. But you know what? You got to love the guy. I love him so much, you know.
He's out of his fucking mind. And you know what?
Huh?
Kirk and I have never seen eye to eye 100%.
No.
Not even 75% on music. He's always had this different taste. Put it this way. I remember desperately trying to get Kirk Weinstein to listen to Celtic fucking
Oh, my God. And he doesn't like it?
And no, this is in 1989.
Oh, shit.
Back in the day.
I know.
And I'm like, please listen to fucking
Celtic
Cross.
Who wouldn't like him?
He just sort of, I don't like him. I don't like him. And look, today, ask him if he likes him. Oh, I love him. I always love him. You know, he pretends.
He pretends that he wants to cater you.
Not that I've known. You know, it's impossible. Everybody knows every band exactly when they fucking came out.
Of course.
But there's a period in my life where I was a fucking manic collector of underground music, and I will say, you know, 20%, maybe 30% got lost in Hurricane Katrina, but that's no big deal. You know, some of it, you know, is replaceable, but not all of it. But still, at a point in my life, you know, my collection is very, very formidable.
Right.
And I still have, you know, a lot of old vinyl.
Yeah, old school.
Like the original.
Yeah, exactly.
Venom black metal. The original fucking Bathory.
You like the Venom? You like Venom?
Well, you know, when black metal came out, there was no band like fucking Venom.
I know. And then now people think the old black metal, real, true underground black metal, comes from Norway.
Well, today's version does. Today's version of black metal. Because, okay, listen, I'll get this straight with you right now.
Okay.
Back when Venom was around, they only had a song called black metal. There was no genre of black metal. Sodom was considered a Venom ripoff.
Right.
Bathory was considered a Venom ripoff. And
then,
on the other end of the spectrum, you had Voivod. And they were fucking insane.
I know.
Okay, you take all these bands, and you think about what black metal, like Satyricon, you can hear fucking Voivod all over.
Oh, of course.
And
they had to be influenced. Yeah,
the
they had to be.
The satyr will admit it, you know,
yeah.
Because it's an honor.
And the emperor, you know.
Oh, emperor, of course. The chords, yeah. The chords they use,
yes.
You know.
Yes, yes.
The discordant chords, you know. I get all that shit. I
of
do
course.
It on Arson Anthem, man.
All the elements were there. They're just like, don't want to give them a credit for it. That's the problem.
All right, so, you know, you take today's, like, you take today's crop and
uh-huh.
they coin the phrase black metal. We are a black metal band.
Uh-huh.
That really started in, what, 91?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
late 80s.
So that's
yeah.
What I, no, no.
But
no,
I mean, it was.
At the fucking very earliest.
They were starting out, you know. Like,
you know what?
Mayhem. Yeah, Mayhem. Yeah, Mayhem.
Mayhem's first record can be cited as
yes.
A very, like a benchmark record, but to me, the true record that encapsulated the essence of this new brand of black metal
mm-hmm.
is Dark Throne. Blaze,
Dark Throne, yes.
Northern fucking sky. Blaze,
yeah, absolutely.
Northern sky.
Yeah.
That record is a prototypical. I remember hearing that first record and thinking to myself, first Bathory.
Right.
You know, that's the first thing that popped out.
Oh, the classic. They're classic.
Very
appealing. You can't, yeah.
But I tell you, one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, to me, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
a couple of bands. Finland were awesome.
Okay.
Impaled Nazarene. Record was insane.
Right.
Tool Kampf, Norse, and Ugra Karma was fucking awesome by Impaled Nazarene.
You like the Dissection guys?
You know what? I tried to like Dissection, and it's not really for me.
No?
No. But I respect it. It's just not... For the kids.
Yeah,
but
I know.
I look here.
They're pretty like a polished.
Like, okay, on the whole other end of the Dissection
mm-hmm.
spectrum, the whole other end of the fucking stick,
mm-hmm.
I love Beherit, man. Fucking Beherit.
Beherit is good. Now,
one of my favorite fucking bands.
Yeah.
And they're raw as fuck and about as tight as DRI's first practice.
Oh, my God, yeah. You know, I toured with Carpathian Forest, and they're from Norway. They're fucking crazy. You know, it's like, I don't know if you ever heard their music.
You know what?
It's not true black metal. It's actually punk, folk, you know, it's like a really fucking punkish. But the vocals, of course, the one is like a driving crazy. It's like almost like Anal Cunt, you know, the band?
Seth is one of my very, very good friends.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
I sang on their fourth record. I went up there. I sang on AC.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to hear that. I got to go on, check it out, see if there is any YouTube for Anal Cunt. What album?
Oh, I can't remember the record, but some songs I sang on Van Full of Retards, I sang on.
Okay.
Bill Scott Sucks.
Steroids Guy, okay.
I just saw The Gayest Guy on Earth. That's a great one.
Oh, really? I just saw...
Look that one up.
Okay.
I just saw The Gayest Guy on Earth.
And who would that be?
Some guy Seth was singing about. He had some guy in mind. From some place, some little town in Boston.
Oh, my God. It's fucked up because we opened up for them. We played with them at the CBGBs back in the days. You know, Anal Cunt, Mortician.
What band were you in?
I am in Wicked Witch, WYKKE.
God damn it, man.
You got to go to YouTube. You know what? If you type that name, you're going to find a bunch of videos of me, like Sweet Dreams. Like I told you, we covered the Sweet Dreams. They're really extreme. I mean, much better than fucking Marilyn Manson. You're going to be like, holy shit. I want you to check that out.
Oh, you talking about Annie Lennox?
Yeah, but mine is like a fucking...
I remember Brian from fucking Manson. I knew him before he was jack shit.
Right.
He was always a poser.
I know. He's still a poser. He'll never be another Ethel Anselmo.
He didn't know what the fuck black metal was, man.
No, I know.
He had no fucking idea until I showed him at my house.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. In New Orleans, because he tells me he's a Satanist. I said, really?
Oh, please.
A fucking Satanist. I'm like, what is that? If you're going to take the fucking religion seriously, it's a criminal religion. You know?
Exactly. Raping the young teenagers.
Not to mention it's fake. So.
Yeah, he's a fake. But,
no, but so is Satan.
I know. He's stupid. It's just a concept. You know, because the little kids are so naive, innocent.
Yeah, and you know? It's fun, though, when you're 15, looking at the hell awaits the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit.
Oh, absolutely, because it's...
Watching Evil Dead and listening to Hell Awaits.
Hell Awaits. Yep.
Smoking pot. All right.
You love Slayer.
I love you, baby.
Oh, I love you too, baby.
All right, look, I'm going to shoot you a goddamn email.
You better fucking fill or I'll fucking put you under my curse.
All right, good luck with that one.
Thank you, Phil.
All right.
Okay, bye.
This is Philip H. Anselmo, and I'm hanging out with IPEC, and we're on the radio.
If ever words were spoken painful and untruth, I said I love, but I lie. In my life, I like always wanted was a keeping of someone's like a jewel. As it turns out, deeper within me, love was a twisted and appointed that jewel. Never ending pain quickly ending life. You keep this love thing, love child, love toy. You keep this love fist, love scar, love. You keep this love, the jewel is love. You keep this love. This song, guys, is by a Pantera called This Love. I love it. Te quiero mucho. A mi pinga inside of you. I think the tempting one they stole her from herself. They get in pain. I this gift in pain. Pain slide.
Pedro!
And sometimes,
stop that shit! You brought some cheap karaoke! What the fuck? You ruined
you
the song!
You don't talk about my karaoke machine!
Oh my god, I hope the Phil doesn't hear this.
You don't talk about the karaoke machine. I got
well,
a really
maybe,
nice
you'll
karaoke machine.
Someday.
I brought over the karaoke because I know that they Pantera...
Take this fucking shit, the tequila, with the warning.
I'm getting tired of this crazy. I'm out of here. I'm going to take my karaoke machine with me too.
Yes.
Gracias, Alice. Bye. Bye.
Yeah.
Yo coño su madre, my Miranda, whatever it is. All right. Metal Messiah, dysfunctional family, unemployed, disabled, disbanded, maybe not forgotten. All right, my friends, my fans, you heard the second part of the Phil interview. Wasn't that awesome or what? I fucking couldn't believe when he trashed Lady Gaga, as I thought he wouldn't. He wanted to be a politically correct, but he went other way around, trying to be very honest, abrasive. He don't fucking care if Lady Gaga ever gives him an opening slot. All right, there you have it. So I loved it. I fucking love the interview. I hope you all did too. And I'm going to end this show tonight with a final words. You know, what can be said about a man with 1,000 projects, talent? The music is his bread and butter. He breathes through the music. I wonder if Pantera will ever reunite. Even without a dime, we sure would like to see that happening, won't we, people? For now, it's unknown, unpredictable, but never say never. Well, next week, next same time, same fucking place. Now you all fucking smile and blow me!